that in your name we can change the world. And yet, Lord God, we know that that is the truth. That that is the truth, but it starts with us. It starts with us. It starts with our hearts and our total commitment to you. Our unsurrendered commitment to you. Total surrender to you. Total surrender. God, thank you. Thank you for your presence here this morning. Thank you that that's your promise to us, that where two or three are gathered, you're in our very midst, and we've got more than two and three this morning. And thank you that you're in our very midst. And I just pray for each one of us that our hearts will be tuned into you, that we'd hear what you're saying to us individually. Thank you, God. Amen. Please grab a seat if you haven't already. Thank you to our worship team. They do an amazing job. Thank you, guys. If you weren't here for Andy's welcome this morning, a very, very warm welcome to you. It's great to have you all with us this morning, particularly to visitors. It's good to see you. Pray you have a good time when you're with us this morning. If you want to keep abreast of what's happening in the life of the church and you don't receive our update emails, we don't barrage you with emails. They're not very frequent, but they're very good. Just telling you what's going on in the life of the church. There's some sign-up sheets over there on our rack, just for your email address. If you want to, then please fill one of those in and pass it to either Andy or myself or anybody else who looks official in this place, and they'll make sure that we get to it. Good morning. Brilliant. Love it. Just a little bit of what's happening in the life of the church. The ladies had their first breakfast together yesterday. Sorry, I couldn't join you ladies. There was apparently 14 at the board. So men, come on. Come on. There is now competition in the house. Only joking. The next men's breakfast is the 23rd of August at the board. There we go. July. I've skipped ahead. Because I didn't want you turning up, you see. I wanted us to win. Sabotage. I've got the mic. No. Only joking. No, thank you to Karen and Danny for organising that. Brilliant. Really good. More to come, I think, aren't there? Yeah, more to come. Brilliant. Good stuff. Just to give you a bit of heads up as well, this sounds like it's a church revolving around food, but I think yes. Yeah, that's true. That is true. So the first Sunday of every month, as you know, we generally, those of us who are free and able and willing, head down to the Blue Boar in the High Street for lunch. On the 7th of August, which is the first Sunday in August, we're actually going to have a church picnic. So we're going to head over to Lake Meadows and straight after church. So more details to follow, but just so you can pencil that in your diaries and start praying for the weather. So that will be good. So that's the first Sunday in August. We're going to be doing that. It's Summerfest is on today. For those of you who came round Sun Corner this morning would have noticed it's a big town event. Street pastors are over there. Phil's going to be joining us in a bit, but he's over there at the moment, and Andy and I are going to be going out there decked in our street pastor tops. We should have actually worn them this morning, but... Yeah, you know my issue with the street pastor polo top. So pray for that event. It's great for the community to get together, and we're just seeking God as to what that looks like for us as a church next year. So pray into that. Pray into that. Is there anything else I need to mention? Oh, there is one more thing. Actually, while I'm doing that, is there any of the wonderful young people at the back who want to hand round our baskets? Anybody? Oh, and then they run. We just passed those around for the tithes and offering. If you're visiting, then please, we don't expect anybody to give. If you want to, then bless you. But actually, this is the responsibility for those of us for whom this is our home church. So be blessed as you're with us. Just one thing to mention. It's really important, isn't it, that we're just aware of needs within the church family. This isn't kind of a personal need of anybody, but actually our sound and vision guys, the AV team, have got a vacancy open and they're recruiting. Sounds very, at least one, yeah. So if that's something that you would want to get involved in, you know, you sit up in the gods, as it were, you know, that you have that they have the vantage point of what God's doing, which is brilliant. So if that's something that you would like to get involved with, then see Pete afterwards. Is that all right, Pete? Yes. Full training will be given. Sue's already, I can see her. She's already thinking that one through. It's you don't have to be a highly technical person at all. It helps for the sound stuff, but not so much for the visual stuff, because actually doing the song words actually is probably not quite as complicated. So do think about that. And the other thing, our hospitality team do a great job serving us week in, week out. But again, they have some vacancies due to promotion, I think, was it? We won't go into that. So if you would like to help with the hospitality team, then can you see Steve? Steve, give us a wave afterwards. Or Terry, actually. Terry can give us a wave too. And they will let you know. There's a rota basis, so it's not a weekly thing. But if you would like to serve the church in that way, then please do let them know. That's brilliant. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to hand over to Andy. Father, we thank you for all the resources that you've given us in this church. We thank you for the way you entrust us with things, Lord God. And we want to honour you in the way we do life completely. And that involves our money. So, Lord, I just pray for the finances that you've entrusted us with, that, Lord, we'd use them wisely and well for the extension of your kingdom. And we pray and thank you, Lord God, that all our needs have been met. And we pray in the future that every need that we have as we expand and grow will be met, because you are providing for our needs. So we thank you for that. Pray for God's kids now, and as they go out, that you would bless them with an amazing time this morning. Would you strengthen and anoint and empower Jane and Linda for all that they do with the kids. Would you bless their morning, Father God, that those kids would come to know you and love you in a greater way, that they can step into life fully equipped with the things of heaven at their fingertips for your glory. Amen. Have a great morning, kids. I'm going to hand over to Andy, but before I do that, it's just a couple of bits I wanted to say, actually. You can stand there while I say them if you want.
That was nice.
I don't know completely what Andy's going to preach about this morning. I know a little bit about it because he's kind of been sharing some stuff with me. But I just wanted to say before Andy spoke, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now if it wasn't for Andy. I wouldn't be who I am now if it wasn't for the stuff that he saw in my life and called it out. And so I know that it's with that kind of anointing on his life that he's going to bring what he's going to bring to us this morning. So I'm not just saying it because he's my husband. I'm saying it because actually it's true. And I just wanted to honour what you've brought out in my life. And I know that actually for us as a church, there is stuff that Andy is going to bring out of individuals in this church, because that's what his heart is. Andy.
Thank you, sweetheart. Well, on Friday, I had another birthday, and with that, my 60th birthday inches another year closer. Don't worry, you've got a couple of years to save up yet, so for the big one, big heads up. If you want to just put that in your phone or something like that, and just a little note, that's great. I'll just wait a moment and pause. Might it be on a Sunday? Yes! And knees up, that would be really good. I began my 58th year in the gym. There we are. Okay, but with this in mind, a few weeks ago, the Holy Spirit began to download to me some thoughts really related to the passing of years. So this wasn't a morbid thing he was downloading, but really, actually, how we use this span of time that we have. That's really where I'm coming from. And although what I'm speaking about this morning is addressed to those of us who are believers, what I have to say, and we record this, so this will probably be going out to those who maybe don't know the Lord, what I've got to have to say this morning is pertinent for everyone, not only believers. and there's going to be challenges along the way. And really, this has everything to do this morning with the plan for which God has for our lives. It will be about the decisions and choices we make which align us or distance us from his destiny. That's where we're going this morning. So we're going to begin really with a short passage from Hebrews 12, 1 to 3 in a moment. But before we do, it's really important to know upon what this bit of scripture is actually predicated, upon which it's built. The writer, who's generally thought to be Paul, but not established beyond all doubt, gives a biblical cast list in Hebrews 11, really, of heroes of faith who've persevered for the kingdom of God until their last breath. You probably recall them. I've got a little list here. They include the likes of Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, loads more, some we've never heard about until they just are picked out in that Hebrews 11. So that's the backdrop for Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. But here's what it says, and they're probably familiar verses to many of us. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so you will not grow weary and lose heart. I just thought some of the things we've sung this morning, just as a sideways thought, just really seem to really factor into what I'm going to speak about this morning. And we didn't collude prior to this. So we're surrounded, really, by the saints of the past, this cloud of witnesses, so to speak, in a really unique way. We've no way of knowing if the implication of this passage is that the faithful who have gone before us are literal spectators of the race that we run, or if this is just a figurative representation and that we ought to act as if they were able to see what we do and the way we live and cheer us on to the same victory and life of faith that they live themselves. So we have no way of knowing, but nevertheless, Paul speaks of this figurative or literal cloud of witnesses, those who've gone before us, really, in the faith. But either way, here's the point. We are to be inspired by the godly examples of these saints that they set during their lives, and to be encouraged to live that way ourselves as well. They're not setting us a high bar that's impossible to keep. They're just setting us an example of what it is to live the Christian life. That the cloud is great, referred to as great, really indicates that this speaks of multitudes of believers who've gone before us, each bearing witness to the life that we live, now. Here's the point. Here's the thing. That at one time, each of these saints was not just a passive witness in heaven as they are now, notwithstanding the odd bout of cheering that we've heard about, but they were active witnesses on planet Earth at one point. They're now witnesses, passive in effect in heaven, but at one point they were active witnesses on planet Earth. Really, as I meditated on this concept and this thing, the Holy Spirit really spoke to me about the tragedy, or the potential tragedy, of having this eternal vantage point, but from it realizing there was perhaps that more that we could have done while we lived our life on the earth, but didn't. And I don't know if that speaks to you, but it really spoke to me, and I found it really challenging, but potentially tragic. One day, morning, Phil. Well, that's probably an oxymoron said in total love and affirmation, as we do everything here. Good to see you, Phil. One day, all of us, those of us who own Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, will get to join this cloud of witnesses. But now, right now, we have a mandate from Jesus to be his witnesses on planet Earth. That's the thing we want to talk about. Here's what it says in Acts 1, verse 8. But you, that's believers, he's talking to disciples, but read us into it as well. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you and me, will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We're the ends of the earth at the moment. So, our calling, therefore, is to be effective, Holy Spirit-empowered witnesses for Jesus during our earthly life and to run the race with perseverance, the race that's marked out for us. This is our overarching destiny for all believers. And it actually has something to say for us, whichever age we are. The youngest aren't here. But we've still got youngest here, and we've got oldest. But it speaks to all of us. And really, that's really by way of an aside, that this one of the reasons I'm still involved in the world of children's publishing, Christian publishing, is really I want to encourage and equip children to live their life fully for God. It starts when they're young. We're not putting our kids in a holding room. And that's one reason I'm still involved. And I would say that the world would want to rob our children of their divine destiny by selling them a counterfeit of pursuing selfish ambition, like solely for personal gratification. Many of you know Joyce Meyer, and there's one famous quote of hers which speaks of people putting the ladder up against the wrong building of their life. It's really talking about that they're trying to get to the top in life, you know, to please themselves, only to get to the top of the ladder, so to speak, only to realise the building's over there. If you know Johnny English, you'll probably know, get a similar picture like that. I just thought of that. But either way, if you get the picture, you would not want to get to the end of your life and realise your ladder's up the wrong building, so to speak. You spent your life pursuing the wrong dream. You're in the wrong place. So, futile exercise. So, that's actually the road along which I was heading. Maybe many of us here were as well before my conversion. I've said it before, my shallow ambitions were the same as many. They were fame and they were fortune, which I have to say are really poor counterfeits, really, for what most of us, I would say actually all of us, desire deep down inside, whether we're honest or not about it, or whether we know it or not. One is purpose and significance. Purpose and significance. That's what fame is a poor counterfeit for. We all want to know that we have purpose and significance in life. And the other is fortune. We all have a personal human need for provision and security. Security. Fame and fortune are just really shallow, lame, poor counterfeits of what God has for us. And I would say that a life consecrated to God will deliver these without us having to make them our sole pursuit. That's been my experience. Anyway, let's first unpack the challenges of the Hebrews passage. And it's not going to be a long preach this morning because we've got some other bits as well. And firstly, I want to just tackle it for those who are a little bit more mature in years. Running the race with perseverance, as the writer puts it, might seem like quite an exhausting thought for the older age demographic. That said, I read an interesting stat that the average age of those who are regular gym goers, who use it most, is actually 67. No, I didn't know that. There you go. But really, this has little really to do with physical endurance, but spiritual endurance. I see encouragement and hope just wafting through the room there. Just, it's good, isn't it? Life-giving preach.
Well, I don't have to start
from. Okay, the spirit of smugness, go. I just saw it coming. Go in Jesus' name, the spirit of smugness. We haven't welcomed it. What I mean by that is not pulling the plug prematurely on the calling God has for our lives. That's what I'm speaking about. And using the analogy of life being a journey, it'll be tempting to pull over into a lay-by of spiritual retirement to make way for the young bloods. And we were driving back on the M20, M40 yesterday, and M25, and you see them, you think, let's pull over in the lay-by. Actually, that's not our spiritual destiny at all. Of course, our bodies aren't quite what they were when they were 20, but does that mean we need to pull off the road of life and retire? Well, obviously the answer's no, in case you hadn't worked it out already. Whilst we might need to adjust what we do and the way we do things, the concept of retirement as a lifestyle option doesn't seem to present itself in the Bible. Okay, the Levites retired at 50, but other than that was for reasons. But other than that, doesn't seem to exist. And there'll be some people who are going to be going through their concordances after to see if so they can challenge my thoughts. But actually, in this, I'm challenged by two almost paradoxical scriptural truths. They are, not only has Jesus purchased us so that our lives are not our own, that's one biblical truth, but on the other hand, actually, in that, he gives us choices to make. You read Deuteronomy 28, the Israelites, God said to choose life, but actually as believers, whilst our lives are not our own, and yet, God gives us permission to make choices as well. It almost seems like a paradox, but it isn't. Of course, the Holy Spirit and God's word will want to inform our decisions, and if our hearts are so inclined to his, we will make good decisions. But nevertheless, we're free to choose to make good or unwise decisions. So whilst our physical capacity may not be once what it once was, our spiritual capacity should be increasing daily. It should be on the up. That's the way God wants it. Added to which, for those of us who are a certain age, the investment God has made in our lives makes us a kingdom asset. Do you see yourself as a kingdom asset? If you've been a Christian a long time, we should. God has invested much in your life. You have invested much in your life. You need to see yourself. I'm calling out now the fact that you are a kingdom asset. It's vital that we remain at God's disposal and we don't put ourselves out to pasture. We may downsize our homes as we get older, but we don't want to downsize our spiritual expectation. Our expiry date, I would say, it really comes when we enter eternity and not before. We need an appetite for more, not less. And I read it somewhere else. It's not my line, but we need to refire, not retire. Good lines. That was really good. Refire, not retire. I'm probably speaking to the choir here this morning anyway. But anyway, just a good reminder. So anyway, how can we apply this passage from Hebrews to our lives if we're younger? Okay, those of us who are a little bit older, just that's great, off back burner for a moment. But like if we're at school, okay, they're out in God's kids, maybe at uni or in the early years of our career, or with a growing family, you know, sort of the other end of the age spectrum and a little bit up as well. I'd say, as with the older age demographic, there are also many and diverse challenges to us actively pursuing God's plans for our lives. I put my hand up and say that putting God first wasn't something that I factored in through my young years. I became a Christian when I was 29. Would I turn back the clock and revisit some of the decisions I made before this? Absolutely I would, but I can't. But what I can do and have done is to make the best shot of the time that I've had as a believer since. When God apprehended me in May the 14th, 1988, it really signaled the beginning of the end of a life focused on my desires and my pursuits. And the Holy Spirit did me on number me on such a way that really I was ruined for God. And that's what we all need. And just say at the end, if you haven't had that positive experience of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, like the disciples did, like many of us had here, you need that. You need to be positively ruined by the Holy Spirit. So actually, the only thing, you're totally wired for God and nothing else. You need that. And if that's something you've never experienced, our ministry team will be over there at the side. Grab them and say, will you pray for me to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? And there's a scripture in the Bible that says, whatever we ask Heavenly Father believing, he will do for us. He wants you to have that. You need to have that. So if you need to be ruined by the Holy Spirit, grab hold of the opportunity this morning. So you're fully wired for God. So having that happened, I now wanted nothing more, nothing less to fall in line with God's destiny for my life. But actually, it was nothing like the destiny I'd planned for myself, the plans I'd had. It could have resulted in me, I was a cartoonist and children's illustrator full-time at the time, it could have resulted in me in actually stopping that and laying down that completely. It could have done, it didn't, but actually putting God first could have meant such a thing. But having given my whole life wholeheartedly to the Lord, one of the many questions I raised with him is, what do you want me to do with regard to my work? And I'm bringing this into a bit of a close now. As it happened, God gave me a heart to bring alive the Bible and communicate the things of God to children. So really, it married up my professional experience for his glory. But there's a challenge about what God wants to do with our life. Then there was our marriage. I became a Christian soon after we married. Until then, Jane had been the one who was serious about God. That's the truth. But now we were both Christians, and this impacted our decisions we made as a young married couple as to how we used our time and how we used our resources. We had to seriously think about that. Was our joint pursuit going to be a bigger or better house, to arrange a car, excess cash to enjoy luxury holidays, whatever we wanted? Well, it wasn't. Being totally frank, our decision to pursue God's best for us and his plans for our lives, not our own that is, had financial implications on us. That's just being real with you. But actually to say we've never actually lacked of anything we actually needed from God. He's always resourced us and blessed us abundantly. And we've always known, therefore, that God is our source, not ourselves. Just a reminder, Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, top of the list, and all these things will be added to you. God is not an add-on. He's either first or he's not. It's as simple as that. In 1990, our lives were changed. Our son Matthew was born. And then in 1993, our daughter Sarah came along. More challenges. Once again, there were decisions to be made as how we brought up our children. Was our primary ambition to be to pursue the very things we'd set aside, worldly ambition, worldly success for our kids and money? Of course, we were no doubt we wanted our kids to do well at school, to have good jobs. That's what every parent wants. Of course that. Who wouldn't want their children to have that? But actually, our number one priority was their relationship with God. Our number one priority was teaching our kids about the things of God. Before their birth, we prayed for them, we declared scriptural truth over them, we prophesied over them. As they grew up, really in the home life, our relationship with Jesus was really woven into the family life, so it became part of our kids' life as well. We didn't put it to one side. It was in the mix of everything we did as a family. When there were difficult times, we shared them with the kids and prayed with them. When they had difficult decisions to make, we prayed with them. We shared testimony of what God was doing with our kids so they could know he was good. We prioritized being actively members of a church. Jesus says, don't neglect meeting with his people. Church is a priority, and we have to get over the fact that church sometimes causes us pain. It's probably caused a lot of us pain, but actually Jesus loves his church. We prioritized not attending church for the sake of attendance, but actually because Jesus loves his church, and as we loved what he loved, he inputted into our lives even through difficult times. So we prioritized that. We modeled what we wanted to see in our kids' lives. We went to things like Spring Harvest and Faith Camp, sometimes at the expense of things that our friends' kids were doing. I've entitled this morning's message Je ne regrette rien. I regret nothing. If you speak French, if you remember the Edith Piaf song, Non, je ne regrette rien. My Essex French there for you, for nothing. It's good, isn't it? Even Edith Piaf is a little bit waily, so you won't want my version. Anyway, I believe that the writer of Hebrews very much had this sentiment in mind when he encouraged those to whom he is addressing this letter to grab hold of this one life that we have and live it fully for God. My message this morning isn't really intended to be a stick to beat us up with, really, rather than a torch to reach out for, to grab and hold faithfully, to persevere all our days. Whether we're young or old, I'd encourage us not to put on hold the destiny that God has for us, and there'll be a little bit more of that at the end. I'd like us to be, like myself to be, and I'd encourage us to be a people who leave a legacy that will, in which there'll be no regrets, and when we reach eternity and join that great cloud of witnesses, wouldn't that be a great, great way to go into eternity? To be a people who don't ever put the baton down for any season of life, or actually who don't pass that baton on prematurely until we've run that race with perseverance. I just want to finish this bit with some familiar words also, hopefully from Paul, the writer Paul. It's definitely the writer Paul this time, from Philippians 3, 13 and 14. And he says this, really just syncing with the other stuff I've said as well. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but the one thing I do. But the one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straying forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I'm going to give us an opportunity at the end to respond to that. But I've invited this morning Phil, Marlene and Steve to speak for 5 minutes. He says, looking at his watch, just as a hint. But each of them, it's great there are people within this in this church who have been going to, yeah, I did say 5 minutes, I know he's just wrestling with that, have been going to, been away, or been going to different sort of Bible colleges, Christian training colleges, have been adding to what they're doing by extra training and equipping. They haven't pulled over, they haven't taken a season out in life and saying, I'm putting God on the back of the burner. And I thought it'd be good to flag up three of them as well this morning. We've got people in September. Michael's going out to the States, to Bethel. Marlene's going to be speaking, is going out back to the States as well. Ian and Rita, who aren't here this morning, have been up in Yorkshire. Other people have been doing things at Pilgrims Hall. There's loads of people involved in ongoing equipping. And I thought it'd just be good for 5 minutes from each of them just to tell you what they've been doing, where they've been at, what it's meant to them, really. Just maybe to spark the thought of, maybe this is something I could do. Maybe there'll be something different. But just to encourage us to refire and to ignite or reignite a passion for running the race with perseverance. So I'm going to ask Phil up, because Phil's come over from Summerfest this morning. So put your hands together for Phil, because he's been serving already. Up to the microphone, darling, please. Yeah.
Less of your cheek.
Your 5 minutes starts.
Really? Who's going to warn me when it's 30 seconds to go? Everybody. How about my daughter? Daughter? Yes, your job for the morning. Morning, everyone. Yeah, I'm over at Summerfest with Street Passers. As you know, it's all going on over there today. And it's a really good opportunity for us just to meet some of the people in our own community, just to explain a little bit about what we do and why we are out and about in the nighttime economy. But the thing I'm here to talk to you, I think, about is Empower. I've just been on the Christian Studies course at Chelmsford for a year. I've just finished. And it's been a real blessing. Some of the strap lines to do with it is like a year to change your life, or it's something to do with Leadership Academy and things like that. But my experience was, when I first went into there, it's two days a week, so Thursday, Friday, at Chelmsford, but then also we go out to various other places. So we go out to the different parts of the country and visit other churches. We also go to France for a long weekend, and there's probably a mission trip during the year as well. This year they went to Uganda, because CGC, the network, CGI, the network is connected to an orphanage and a hospital and a school in Uganda, and there's a really good connection there, really massive good work. But the course is designed to help us to be equipped with some of the things that comes along in our life. So for the first term, it's very inward looking. And sometimes we don't do that. Some of us don't find that very comfortable. Some of us actually think we're okay and we don't need to look too much about our character. But actually, when you start to spend some really valuable, concerted time trying to understand who you are and why you are who you are, and what experiences have you gone through in life, you actually start to realise that some of the things that you've been a part of, some of the tragedy that's been in your life, some of the good things as well, you've picked them up as you've gone along, and it's influenced who you are and who you are as a character. And sometimes those things can be really quite hurtful, and we can carry them for a long period of time. And sometimes we don't really understand that fully of why sometimes things upset us more than others, why we're a bit more emotional about that than that. Well, I can cope with all this in life, and yet if that happens, it really derails me. So the first term in the Empower year is a little bit about giving you the opportunity to just understand yourself a bit more. And if there's something that they can help you with, face up to, and pray over, and be released from, it's a little bit about you being whole as a spiritual human being. So sometimes we don't even think that we've picked up horrible things, and you know they're still going around in our mind. So it's an amazing privilege to be able to sit with other like-minded believers, with really quality speakers. Just to sit with the Lord sometimes and say, Lord, what is it that you're trying to teach me about right now? So that's the first term. By the first term, you think, wow, that's enough. But then you realize you're here for a year. So the second term is all about what does it look like about moving forward now that you've done your sort of inward looking and your reflection and you're dealing with some of your issues. Some of them still carry on to the second term. You can't get to Christmas and say, right, that's it, everything's sorted. So sometimes we do need to carry on dealing with some things, and that's okay. But it's very much about then taking you very gently on to, right, well, what's coming next? And that's getting you ready, really, for the final term. The final term is very much about then looking out. You've had this good year. You've had this time to sit with the Lord, to look at yourself, to learn, to listen, to be equipped and encouraged, to have many, many quality speakers. One of my lasting memories of the year is how have they managed to get the people that they get to come and do the talks. These are top people that go around internationally, you know, holding audience with thousands of people in auditoriums. And there you are as a part of a group of possibly a dozen or 20 people. It's almost like personal tuition from international speakers. That really blew my mind away. And then they end up at the end of the year with the challenge. For me, I was pretty much sure I knew the challenge and the season I'm in at the moment, because I'm not sure if any of you are aware, I'm a street pastor. And this is my calling. I know this is my calling, because without me doing too much, I am being massively blessed. I am receiving phone calls, emails, WhatsApps, tweets, every other day. Phil, have you thought about how street pastors can get involved with this? We love what you're doing. Last night, our team went out on a Friday night. They helped this lady who came over a bit dizzy, coming out of one of the places, an older lady. So this isn't dealing with teenage drunks. This is an older lady who was up the high street. She's had a bit of a dizzy spell and she's fallen over. Our street pastor team at that time included a lady that goes out in her electric wheelchair. She doesn't need it all the time, so she was able to get out of her electric wheelchair for them to pick up this lady and to put her in the electric wheelchair. They looked after her, calmed her down. Her daughter arrived, and then they said it's time to go. And she got up, and she had pain in her hip. And they grabbed her and put her back in the wheelchair. And the daughter was now completely panicking. But through their calm approach and through the opportunity of being in that place at that time, on behalf of Jesus, they managed to help her and say to her, you really need to go to hospital and have that checked out. She'd actually just broken her hip in the middle of the high street on a Friday night. And I just think, you know, these things, it's not the fact that nobody can deal with it. And if you call the emergency services and people and all the rest of it, people do get there in time. But at that moment, at that time, people with this uniform had the opportunity of speaking into that situation, calming everybody down and looking after that lady. And that is what I'm doing now. I believe I'm on a journey with Empower, and I'm now seeing that journey fulfilled and into the next ministry. That was at least 5 minutes. God bless. I'm off.
I was about to say, Phil is a great example of someone who did retire actually from the police, but he's refired. Not that you weren't on fire already, but there's that refiring into the calling. So if you want to find out, obviously not today about Empower, but tap Phil up particularly just to ask him any more about any details about how you can enroll on that. I'm sure they can. You can still.
The best street passers are grandparents in their 60s. So when you sit listening to them, no, I'm being serious. When you sit listening to Andy's message, and for a lot of people like me that have been in church for 10, 15, 20, 30 years and sitting there thinking, do you know, I've got this faith. What should I be doing with it? This is a great thing because we can all do it. And the older you are, the less threatening you are to a lot of younger people. And they see you as their own grandparent. There's a lot of respect out there. And you can speak into people's lives just by putting on this T-shirt. Superb. I'm off.
Thank you, Phil. We'll see you later over there. Bless you. Okay. Next up, Marlene. It should have been ladies first, but I wanted to get Phil go back there. Marlene will be speaking next week again, won't you, Marlene? So it's great. So there'll be lots more to share now. But I'll hand over the microphone to you, Marlene.
Well, I've got my piece of paper here with the questions that Andy gave me. The first question he asked was, what course were you on and what was its purpose? I was actually on a degree course in biblical and practical studies. The first year, I actually did a correspondence course, but I didn't plan to go to Bible college, so the correspondence course actually took me about 4 years to do because I had no idea that's what God was leading me to go to Bible college. And when I actually decided to go to Bible college, I didn't even know I was going to Colorado because I initially wanted to stay here in England. So obviously God had his purposes to go to Colorado, and I loved it. I really did. It's a different world out there. The course ran from September to May, so that was my second year. I actually studied in Colorado for a year. Here I am now. I'm going back in September to do the third year. Now, the third year is an internship, and basically, you've got different studies that you can do for the whole year. You've got business, ministry, missions, worship, media, practical government, which looked really interesting, creative arts and leadership. And I will be doing ministry because it's mainly based on the Bible, and I'm a Bible person, and I really wanted to study the Bible and learn more about God. What is it for, and what does it cost? Well, the cost, if you are going to Colorado, is quite expensive because obviously you've got to live there. And it's about, in English money, it's about £18,000. International students cannot work in America, and I couldn't work, which I didn't mind, because it was nice to study and revise and spend time with God. And, yeah, I really love the fellowship with other Christians as well. By the way, the first year I actually did DVDs as a correspondence course, so then you can just take your time. That's why it took me so long. But it was really, really good, really interesting. I mean, the teachers there are just so, you just can't get enough, really. It's all that information, all that knowledge, and it's just so, oh, wonderful. You know, God is just downloaded to them and given to us. It's just really amazing, and I really, really enjoyed it. So what were the highlights for me being there? Well, all that knowledge. It was just amazing having all that knowledge from different teachers who obviously the Lord had spoken to. So all that revelation. And going on the mission trips as well. I did enjoy that. There's a mission trip you have to go on in your second year to qualify. Not only that, you actually have to, in the classes, you actually have to speak in front of the students, but we actually break up into small groups to do that. Because in my class alone, there was 270 students, so it's like being in a conference, really. But the chairs were so comfortable, and people were falling asleep because, obviously, some of the students who are actually in America, they work because it's 8 o'clock in the morning till 12 o'clock, and then the rest of the time is free. But you do have classes 7 o'clock, well, 7:05 in the morning, and then you do have classes in the afternoon, but they're classes that you don't have to go to. You can go to if you want. I did go to one in the morning because my friend kept saying, oh, Marlene, you have to go, and you think, oh, because it's early. And I already went early to choir practice, as it was, but I did go, and I wished I'd gone before, because it was just the knowledge that you receive and the revelation that you receive, and God does speak to you. You know, sometimes I'm in the class and they're talking and the tears are rolling down my cheek because God is doing something in my life, and you don't even realize it sometimes. And that's the most amazing thing about it. Yeah, the highlights for me was going on the mission trips. I went to Costa Rica. Everyone has to go on the mission trip. And in the small groups, you actually stand up in front of people and then you have to like talk for 5 minutes or 10 minutes. And you sometimes have to pick a name out. Well, not sometimes. You have to pick a name out of the hat. You don't know what you're going to talk on. You've got 10 minutes to prepare and you just talk on it. Because obviously, if you meet people on the street, they're going to be asking you questions. You do not know what they're going to be asking you. And you have to be ready. So that's one of the reasons they were, you know, you took the name out of the hat on and spoke on that topic. And I loved ministering to people. I really did enjoy ministering to people, praying for people. And when I was in Las Vegas, we went to Las Vegas. That was something that was organized by another student. One of the teachers came with us. Oh, my goodness. He is an evangelist, because in the mornings we got together and worshipped and prayed and read the Bible. He just ministered the word to you. And because he is an evangelist, I'd never seen an evangelist like that in my life. You just wanted to get out there and you just wanted to pray for these people. You wanted to tell people about Jesus because he had just fired you up. You just wanted to do that. And every day, and it wasn't just me, it was the others as well. He was just so... That was just God, and God was just like transferring it to us, and it was just so wonderful. And one of the things as well that God did is I was able to lead a little boy to the Lord, and that was just, you know, it just, thank you, Jesus. And it was just so wonderful. Okay, thank you, bye.
No, that wasn't a stop. You could go on forever, couldn't you? But you know, that is the wonderful thing about it, isn't it, really? The fact that actually there's just so much to say. You are fired up. You are fired up. Catch Marlene if you want to find out more about that. Or probably you can also point people in the sort of talk about the stuff that Ian and Rita are on as well, couldn't you? Probably have some information about that as well in Yorkshire. I did. I only gave you 5 minutes. I mean, personally, not up the front. Thank you so much. Bless you. And lastly, I've asked Steve... to talk about the European School of Supernatural Life. Thanks, guys, for your 5 minutes. I really appreciate that.
It's so difficult, though. Morning. Just before I go into my 5 minutes, if I have a little bit longer, because I figure I'm making a tea and you can't get a cupped one back over there. So, but during the worship, when Jess was speaking out, the Lord just gave me a picture, and standing behind you was an angel. And the Lord said to me that when Jess speaks out, the angel is always there and he's blessing you and you're speaking through it, and you are blessed when you do that. So that's what I wanted to share. So I'm here to talk about the European School of Supernatural Life, which is based at Gravesend. Before I do that, I'm going to tell you a story. There was a woman who lived on the streets in London. She would ask people for money and react aggressively to those who refused her. When she died, I discovered that this woman had inherited a large fortune. She had acquired a luxurious flat and many valuable paintings. But she chose to live on the streets with a plastic bag full of rubbish. She could not bring herself to leave behind the life that she knew, and she never enjoyed her inheritance. Some people are afraid of change, while others believe change is not possible. Yet the wonderful news is that with God's help, you can change. The change is key to your spiritual growth and transformation. It's not just about changing your actions or your appearance. You need to change on the inside. You need a change of heart. So Stephen, when speaking to Sanhedrin just before being stoned to death, spoke of circumcision of the heart by the Holy Spirit. So how can the European school of supernatural life bring about this change? The aim of the course is to equip and deploy followers of Jesus Christ to radically change society through a naturally supernatural lifestyle of signs and wonders. Jesus didn't just teach, preach, and pray. Everywhere he went, he healed the sick, performed miracles, and even raised the dead. Did Jesus really mean us to do the same? Well, yes, he did. He said so in Matthew 10:8. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy, drive out demons. Just imagine the impact of large numbers of people who live like this, like Jesus lived. We need to re-educate and retrain ourselves so that the supernatural things Jesus did become the things we do naturally. We should be naturally supernatural. All of the course content is centered around the following subjects: identity in Christ, intimacy with the Father, impact through the Holy Spirit, and instilling kingdom culture. The school aims to equip you to encounter the presence of God, hear God and prophesy, heal the sick, experience the miraculous beyond the walls of the church, and to walk in the blessings and power of the culture of honor. This course is not all theory. You will not come away full of head knowledge. You will be activated to go out and be a blessing to Jesus, your church, and your town. You will be inspired by the leadership. You will meet many people who live lifestyle Christianity. So who is this course for? Anyone who is pursuing the Lord for more. The highlight for me was truly knowing in my heart my royal identity in Christ. I'd heard it preached before, but never in such depth and with such importance attached to it. This impacted all I do in Christ. It changed the way I pray. I expect people to be healed rather than hope they will. I seek his presence and guidance in all I do. I now enjoy being God's son. And I mean really, really enjoy being his son. So, if you don't want to be like the bag lady from Knightsbridge, who chose not to take up what was rightly hers as an heir to the family fortune, step out of the boat, cast off all that is holding you back and start living 24/7 for Jesus. Go online, have a look at the course, pray about it, ask the Father what he has planned for you. Or you can speak to me, Alan, Jen or Jane. They can all give you more information. The school year is September to July. Spread over 23 evening sessions every week on a Wednesday from 7:45 to 10 p.m. Plus there's free all-day Saturday specials where more time is available to get you activated in all that you're learning. The cost of the course is £200 per year. All in 5 minutes.
Thanks, Steve. Well, it's a bit of a whirlwind tour this morning, and I think we've probably fitted the proverbial quart into the pint pot, and so we've done that. But although we've just gone past midday, as I said, I just want there's something I want to do and just create opportunity, really. We all need to know the plan God has for our life. We may not all know the plan God has for our life, but we all need it, and God wants us to know that. We all have a destiny from God, from heaven, for our life. And even before we choose to step into it, it's important we actually do know what it is. I'm someone who's just God's placed that sort of thing in, and I believe this morning that God wants me to impart to you simply by the Holy Spirit a revelation of the destiny for your life or the plans he has. It's not going to be a long prayer. It's literally an impartation. What I have, I pass on to you. If you want a fresh revelation of the plan that God has for your life, or if you want it for the first time, I'm just going to ask the guys to put some music on. And I'm just going to ask you to come to the front. I'll put the microphone down in a moment. And I'm simply going to pray something very simple of impartation over your life. And you can go back to your seat. And then once we've done that, we'll just bring our meeting to a close. But if you really want, this morning, it's made you think, do you know what? I really need to know why I live, why I breathe, why I'm on this planet Earth, what God has for me. Or I need a fresh reminder of really that call on my life. You know, now's the day. I'll just add to that. Once knowing that, it might involve recalibrations of our life. And that's another part of the journey. And that's what the church is there for, to equip and help. That's secondary. That comes after recalibration and making decisions based upon that. But first thing is actually it's humility of saying, I want your will for my life, Lord, not my own. That's a huge thing for any of us to do. I know that. But I would say once more, it's the best thing. It's where provision, purpose, security, significance all come in. It's no point in pursuing them of our own volition. Let's line ourselves up with God. So I'm going to put the microphone down. If we can have some music on, if you want that impartation of God's plans for your life, and when I pray for you, expect the Holy Spirit to do what I'm imparting, and God will do it for you. It might outwork in the coming days or weeks as you spend time in His Word, time with Him. That might just unfold. You might go away back to your seat thinking, I still don't know what it is. But just be full of faith and expectation that what we do, what I pray for you, God is faithful and will give you your heart's desire. It's as simple as that. Okay. Thanks, guys.
Just as Andy's finishing off praying for people, just want to read out a scripture that Alan sensed God was saying. And it's from Revelation 12:12, and it says this, Behold, I'm coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. And just knowing this, God is no man's debtor. God is no man's debtor. Whatever those conversations you're going to be having with God over the coming days, weeks, months, maybe even years, God is no man's debtor. So, Father, we just acknowledge and thank you for what you've done and are doing in our midst this morning. We want to thank you, God, that you are faithful to your word, that you have good plans for us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us, plans to bring us a hope and a future. And we intentionally want to step into that in increasing measure in these days for your glory. Amen. Amen.